Chapter 26, The Gatwick Candidate. At first light, 10 a.m, it's up and on my way. The most direct route back to my father's footsteps would be back the way I came, walking as the crow flies towards the Tilbury ferry port and on. But I'm not a crow, I'm a partridge, and so crucially was my father. A partridge flies a little differently, often journeying south at this time of year, before a sweeping parabola takes it in an easterly direction. If I do that, and I am a partridge, I'd pass through the Gatwick area before making my way southeast to Dungeness. So it's really not that weird if I stop at the airport to see if I can have a chat with Harvey Kennedy. That's the way I'm heading anyway. I've also just remembered that I've been planning on entering the airport and checking out the Regis Express facilities for yonks, which makes it even less weird for me to pop in. I've been a Regis customer for years now, and see the business services provider as a great fit for Brand Partridge. Because when you sign up to Regis, you're not just getting a desk and an Ethernet cable, you're getting a lifestyle. Impromptu meetings over piping hot machine coffees in the breakout area, shiny-shoed men with kick-ass PowerPoint skills, women in chunky-framed glasses sipping mineral water in front of an Apple Mac. These aren't just posed photos in the Regis brochure, although they are that too. These tableaux actually take place. Regis life is the very definition of business cool, and it's what I imagine it must be like working in Dubai. Footnote. I do have some insight into executive life in the Middle East after finding myself stuck on Richard Key's group email list following his departure from Sky Sports, brackets thanks to an unguarded piece of golf club banter, and his subsequent move to Al Jazeera in Doha. His weekly emails purported to be a way of keeping friends and family abreast of his new life in Qatar, but were actually thinly veiled bragathons in which he'd attach pictures of himself in sunglasses or making phone calls on a Lilo or eating steak with Andy Gray. Richard didn't know what BCC was, leaving each recipient publicly exposed as a friend of his, even if, like me, they'd only met him twice. Fortunately, I replied that it'd be fascinating to see how Richard got on in the Islamist state of Qatar. One is a medieval relic which despises women, persecutes workers, and is viewed with suspicion by the West, and the other is the Islamist state of Qatar. It seems I was removed from the list after that. Obviously there are less sexy elements. An office neighbouring mine was occupied by a newly qualified chiropodist, so the entire corridor stank of feet. If you choose to terminate your office rental, Regis will hammer you on the small print, but the obvious solution is simply never leave. You'd be a fool to, anyway. No, it's a great business, and I've been looking forward to visiting the Gatwick Regis Express for some time. Yes, it is all falling into place beautifully. My journey takes me through the harrowing town of Harrow, the Greenbelt of Greenford, a woman called Brenda from Brentford, the Riches of Richmond, the Twits of Twickenham, the Teddy Boys of Teddington, and the Fit for a King, Kingston-upon-Thames, ending up in a modest B&B in the suburbs of Surbiton. If this sounds like a perfunctory description of the day's walk, or in the case of meeting Brenda, a lie, what can I say? Nothing of any interest happened. If you've got a problem with that, take it up with the towns I mentioned, or their elected representatives. The next day, so sue me, is largely the same again. Surbiton to Gatwick, just a pretty run-of-the-mill walk. I pause for breath and crisps near Reigate, and think of my father driving through this commuter town and appreciating the boxiness of Reigate Old Town Hall, a building of back-to-basics right angles. Yes, he'd have nodded warmly at the corners of this council-owned structure, since he despised buildings with rounded edges or swooped roofs. Yes, I bet he loved driving past Reigate Old Town Hall. And then I remember, he didn't take this route. He'd have been way over the other side of London. Still, nice to think back. And so, 35 miles from Pinner, I arrive at Gatwick Airport. I love Gatwick Airport. Its elegant perimeter road, its state-of-the-art monorail system, its kerosene-stuffed aeroplanes soaring overhead like aluminium eagles. It's the London airport it's okay to like. Stansted, or Stansteed, or Stansteed, or Stansted, as it's variously known, is an arrogant upstart. City airport, full of bankers. London Luton isn't London, and it's barely in Luton. And Heathrow is just an absolute tit of an airport. No, Gatwick is the place to be. I take a moment to look at the transport hub that surrounds me. I don't just drink in its beauty, I actually feel like I eat it too. But what's this? Ah yes, the telltale thunder roar of a plane taking off. At first I struggle to hear myself think, but it's okay. I just turn up the volume in my mind, and then, almost instinctively, I find myself standing bolt upright, saluting the winged beast above me, and yelling up at it at the top of my voice, Good luck, large friend. Take wing and fly, for the skies are yours now, and you are free, free to soar, to swoop, to glide, and gamble across the very face of heaven, until you touch down, weary yet elegant, in a land far, far away. And with that, Ryanair Flight 9853 to Cork is gone. I find the Regis Express, pay for a shower because I wish to be clean for Harvey, and inspect the facilities. They really are fantastic. Regis, of course, is Latin for kings, and you really can imagine the facility populated by historical monarchs from days gone by. Henry VIII gorging himself on the free tea and coffee, King Arthur booking a meeting room with a round table, King John using the state-of-the-art document station to scan, copy and print copies of the Magna Carta, and Richard III just logging onto the Wi-Fi. And with that, it's time to head to arrivals. Harvey's plane from Nice isn't due until 8 p.m, but I want to be there for 6 because it's quite windy today, and I know that can reduce flight times. I stand by the taxi drivers with their little cardboard signs. Some of the more high-tech guys have got mini whiteboards that they just wipe clean after each job. It's a neat solution. I must save them a small fortune in cardboard costs. I decide to have a bit of banter with them. Come on, boys, don't be tight. Give us one of your whiteboards. They laugh along politely, but I do actually want one of their whiteboards. If Harvey can't spot me among the arrivals' melee, we won't be able to talk turkey. Harvey loves turkey. Worse, we won't be able to talk about my potential TV show either. I've seen whiteboards identical to these for $2.99 on eBay. But the next day delivery isn't going to help me now, and that's why I'm more than happy to pay the slightly inflated asking price of Atif, a driver from Premier Cars. He looks like an Asian Alan Sugar, but is better at growing a beard. As I search for a pen for my £50 whiteboard, there's a sudden tap on my shoulder. I spin round, swiveling on the ball of my foot to avoid putting any pressure on my still-throbbing heel injury. It's DIY SOS's Nick Knowles, who comes to Gatwick Airport most evenings to drink, shop and eat. Partridge, he says, and slaps my back. Ha! I laugh. Not because it's funny, it isn't, it really hurts, but because I've always been afraid of Nick. He's a big man with a craggy face, and an ease amongst labourers and tradesmen that suggests if the mood took him, he could summon them like Tarzan summons the animals, and have them take you to pieces, violence-wise. Fuck are you doing here? Nothing, I'm just following in the footsteps of my father. I was wondering why you were mincing like that. Ha ha, lovely, no, Dad wasn't gay, or else I'd still just be a twinkle in his testes. Besides, I wasn't mincing, I was redistributing my weight to protect my heel gash. He looks at me. He really is a big chap, and his accent is a guttural East End oi oi that screams, I am a physically violent man. I carry on. And as I say, I'm on a personal journey to honour the memory of my late father. I'm just here to check out the Biz Lounge and have a quick word with someone. Who? Actually, he's not here yet. I'll wait with you. Let's have a drink. Nick leads the way to the Beehive, a Wetherspoons pub with views of arrivals, and orders a quick pint of lager for us both. What happens next is disappointing for everyone involved. Nick and I have 2 or 3 pints of lager. Nick says it will relax me and insists that he only ever presents DIY SOS if he's DIY SLOSHED. Sloshed. In the event my dehydration, tiredness and, let's be honest, inexperience with lager as a drink leads me rapidly into a world of very intense intoxication. A fact I only grasp when I spot Mr. Kennedy and try to stumble from my bar stool towards him. I reiterate my desire and Brian's desire for filming of my walk to begin ASAP, even suggesting it's my father's desire too, despite him being long-term dead. Ever the salesman, I go on to tell Harvey that alongside Bradbury, Balding and Portillo, I believe I can become the 4th jewel in his crown, although it seems that, as a result of lager, I actually say the 4th Jew in his crowd. It's at this point that my slick, if slightly loud, sales pitch is stopped in its tracks by Harvey placing a kindly hand on my shoulder. I should stress that the hand is one of his own. I instantly feel sick. I've misread the signals. It would be unedifying for me to go into too much detail over what happened next, but if you Google Oliver Reed's impromptu performance of Wild Thing on Michael Aspel's chat show, I'm told that it was almost exactly like that, down to the choice of song. I don't know why I felt it would be savvy of me to sing to the man instead of presenting my ideas in spoken form, as rehearsed repeatedly on the 100-odd miles from my Tilbury turnback, but that's what I did, and that's what I must now live with. Harvey, I'm told, tried to politely demur, suggesting we talk about it at a later date.
"We will talk about it now, Mr. Nichols," I told him, temporarily mistaking the TV agent for the high-end chain of department stores.
When he pushed past me, I screamed at my co-drinker,
"Plant one on him, Knowlesy! Lay him out!"
But Knowlesy didn't plant one on him, or lay him out. Instead, he pretended he wasn't with me. But that's Nick for you. He's basically a big, horrible git of a man.